And welcome to the Sportscast, May 2nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. NFL Draft Recap Part 2 continues today. Of course, NFL Draft happened this past weekend. Players that are selected to their new teams and some trades have happened. And, of course, we have some other news to talk about, NBA and what's happening there. And to join us today, Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here after one of the more exciting events of the year, and that's the NFL Draft, where we saw an upwards of 200,000-plus in attendance in downtown Nashville.
It was quite impressive, wasn't it? I mean, I would not have thought that they will fill out the whole city, but I think doing it outside of New York is panning out.
Well, the NFL fan base has grown considerably over the year, past couple of years. And I think moving it out of New York and allow it to be another venue just opened the doors for more fan participation. Now, I didn't foresee it being at the length that we saw this past weekend. There's a camera angle that panned over downtown Nashville, the Strip, and there were just blocks and blocks of fans in attendance watching on big screens stationed throughout the city. It was very impressive, incredible turnout.
I don't think they had, I don't think they charged people entrance fee to enter that, because it had to be free.
I hope not. You would think. I mean, for 200,000 to be there, I wouldn't think that 200,000 would show up to have a cover charge. But if they did, maybe it was minimal. I don't know.
Well, let's start with the recap, and we'll go by certain picks that I thought that I saw. Let's start with number one: Arizona Cardinals getting Kyler Murray. Was there any surprise there? Of course, you didn't have
There's
Murray.
No, I did not. I was one of the people that was going against the grain and really was hoping the Cardinals would select according to glaring need, and that was offensive line. They had one of the worst offensive line in the NFL this past season, and I believe at random times, if you add it all up, it was around 10 or 11 different lineups. That's just atrocious. So I was hoping that they would go offensive line, not necessarily drafting that at the first pick, but maybe trading down and getting that player at a lower pick. Or if they were going to go number one, go Nick Bosa, because they did need a defensive player to be on the front lines. However, they did what I didn't predict and what everybody thought they would do, and that was draft Kyler Murray. To be honest with you, I'm not a real big fan of it. I think it's more of a flavor of the week popularity type thing. And I really am not a big fan of the way that they treated Josh Rosen during the entire process. I think that it was absolutely garbage the way they handled it. To be honest with you, if they had every intention of bringing in Murray, then they should have traded Rosen months ago, back when the NFL free agency was at its peak. And you had teams who were looking for a number one quarterback. But instead, they waited to a month or so later, and they waited to day two of the draft to say, okay, well, you got to go now. That's ridiculous. I honestly think, I don't know why I expected anything more, because they fired their coach last year after just one season, albeit a bad season, and they send him packing. Well, the same thing essentially happened here with the departure of Rosen, and they were the worst team in the NFL, or one of them, but it wasn't all his fault. And let's face it, he didn't have a whole lot to help him in that travesty that was their season. But nonetheless, this is what happened. They got Kyler Murray. They got what they wanted, and here we go.
Yeah, let's stick with what happened with Rosen. Now, Rosen going to the Dolphins, what do you expect to happen with Miami? Do you think Rosen will be the man, or do you think they might go down a path where they might have to draft a quarterback next season?
I really don't know what they're going to do with Rosen in this whole situation. They got Fitzpatrick, as we all know, a month before, and we all presume that he's going to be the guy. I mean, he's the more experienced guy. But then again, now you have a number one draft pick from the previous season coming in. So what do you do? I expect a battle to ensue to determine who's going to be the guy. But it's unclear right now. And I still don't know if any terms have been released as to the extent of Rosen's stay there. How many years is it going to be? We don't know how much they're willing to invest in him. If we had an idea of how long they were willing to give him there, it might give us kind of a better idea of what next year may look like. Of course, if he has an atrocious season and so does Fitzpatrick next season, then, you know, our answers are there, and more than likely they're going to draft Tua Tagovailoa, presumably, or one of the other hot quarterbacks that are going to be in next year's draft. But it's just one of those things where we really just kind of have to see how it unfolds before we can really make any assessments.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, who's going to start, but let's get back into the draft. Nick Bosa got number two, San Francisco, as expected. Quinlan Williams went to the Jets. You had him go to the Raiders. You think Williams will be a good fit for the Jets?
I think he will. I don't think that that's the most important need they had on the defense. I think they needed somebody from the edge. But it doesn't hurt having that kind of star power on the line. And he certainly has star power, and he certainly has playmaker ability at his position. It's a great pick, and he's going to be a great player long term. So I think it's a good fit. And the way that defense has been shaping up, especially in the off season, I think it's going to be a perfect complement to what they're trying to build there.
Number four, Oakland Raiders went with Clinton Farrell. You had him going into Seattle on the 21st. Are you surprised with this move?
I'm surprised that he was drafted so high, but that doesn't diminish his ability and what he can contribute as a defensive lineman. I think he's a phenomenal player, and I witnessed what he was able to do his entire tenure with Clemson, and it was nothing short of amazing. A great, great player. Thought that, like I said, he'd go a little bit later. However, the Raiders fell in love with him, and they loved what he was about. They loved his abilities, and they felt like that was the best place for him. I think he's going to fit in well there, and I think he's going to boost an already good defensive front that's been evolving before our eyes, especially with this draft. They did a great job in the draft, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
The Bucs had Devin White, but we'll look at the Giants. A quite surprising move here at the SportsCast. We did think there was a possibility that they would draft a quarterback, and we were, you know, more leaning towards Haskins, but they got Daniel Jones.
Right.
How surprised were you?
Very. To be honest with you, I didn't have Daniel Jones going until later in the first round, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he would have dropped out of the first round. If you stack up the numbers between him and Haskins, there's a great disparity. And if you didn't really know much about Jones and you just looked straight at stats, you're saying to yourself, this guy's kind of average. And then you look at Haskins and you're like, this guy's a playmaker. I felt like Haskins was the better pick of the quarterbacks in this class. But then again, the quarterback class here wasn't really all that together sexy. But if you had to pick like the best of what you had, I think Haskins was definitely better than Jones. And a lot of us presumed that the Giants, if they were going to go quarterback, it was going to be Haskins. I had Haskins coming off the board later to the Giants, but they just kind of pulled the rug out from all of us, and they got him in the first round. I guess they felt that they got a great product with Eli Manning because Cutcliffe coached him, and then Cutcliffe in turn coached Jones. Maybe they felt like they can strike gold again twice. I really don't know.
Of course, let's talk about Haskins. He actually went to the Redskins. I think that was a good place for him and the Redskins.
Absolutely. And as the draft day quickly approached, the later parts leading up to the draft, it was highly speculated that's where he would land if he was available. and the Washington Redskins got their man, and then they could be more happy. And I think that was a good pick at that point in the draft, and they got what they wanted. I thought they may have picked up Drew Lock if he was available at that point, but clearly their sights were set on Haskins the entire time.
Let's go for the Steelers. Devin Bush went to Pittsburgh, linebacker from Michigan. How big of a pick was that?
That's a huge pick and a very surprising pick. When we originally talked about what direction the Steelers might go, especially after talking to Steelers fans leading up to the draft, they originally were going linebacker. They wanted linebacker. Some speculated Mack Wilson at that point. But then quickly it transitioned to secondary because the Steelers acquired a few linebackers via trade, like Mark Barron, and it seemed like the Steelers were content there, but obviously not. I originally had had them taking Byron Murphy out of Washington to take care of that secondary need, but instead they're saying, no, we're going to hit a home run with a linebacker, we're going to move up, and this is what we got. So they made a big splash, and they felt like they needed a general at that position, and it looks like they may have gotten him.
Yeah, a lot of defensive players. This is a very defensive draft, not much of a sexy quarterback to pick from.
No.
Jonah Williams, the second Alabama player to be selected in the draft, went to the Bengals. How happy are you for Jonah?
Very, very happy because I felt like to me that was a need that they had to desperately fulfill. And they got the best guy at that position in the draft. I thought that Jonah, and I'm not being biased here, being an Alabama alum, Alabama fan, I thought that Jonah was the best offensive lineman in the draft, or at least one of them. And they went and got their guy, and he's going to help them tremendously, and he's going to do so right away. He provides stability on the offensive line, and he can also, he's very versatile, and he can play any position at the offensive line. So they'll be able to use him in the right ways, and you should see a drastic improvement, especially in run blocking with him calling the shots there.
Something that we're definitely going to take a look at. Noah Fant, speaking about the Broncos, you were surprised with the Broncos draft selection this year. We had Noah Fant going to the Packers, but what did you think about the Packers selection? I know that you were mentioning it in your article that's actually live on the Sportscast.
Did I mention Noah Fant going to the Broncos?
No. You mentioned how about the Broncos did not really have a good draft.
No, I said the Broncos had a great draft.
Oh, my bad. Actually, okay, opposite. Inverse.
Yeah, yeah. No, brother, the Broncos probably had the best draft out of anybody.
More than the Ravens.
And the thing, the Ravens were right behind them.
Okay.
This go first to the Broncos. You know, a lot of people thought at their top spot that they were going to go quarterback. I thought that, and others thought that, and a lot of people thought they were going to go Drew Lock. And to be honest with you, I thought that, and I'm sure other people could echo this, that was a very risky move at that point in the draft. And I just didn't feel like that would have been a smart decision on Elway because, I mean, right now Elway's credibility has been in question because there has not been some good decision-making when it has come to picking a lead signal caller there. So it felt like, you know, they're just kind of grasping for something here, and decisions have been being made out of desperation. Well, you know what? They got Joe Flacco, so there really was no reason to push the issue this year, especially at the number one pick. So what they did, they made a great move and got Noah Fant out of Iowa. You know, they now have something that they hadn't had quite some time. A dynamic offensive weapon who can stretch the field. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body. And the thing is, opposing defenses are going to have to account for him on every down. And that's something that they desperately needed. And I applaud the Broncos for going for a need first. And then right after that, they lock up Dalton Risner, offensive lineman out of Kansas State. This is a guy who's very versatile. He can play any position on the line, and quite frankly, they may need him to do that. He's very strong. He's very consistent. And he did something, like I mentioned in the article, that not many people were able to do this past season. And the first game of the season, he went head-to-head with Montez Sweat every down. And for the most part, he held that guy in check. That's a pretty big deal. So, you know, they took care of a major need on the offensive line. And then they got Drew Locke. They got him with their second pick in the second round. And so, you know, now they don't have to rush him into being the guy. Picking him here is going to allow him time to sit behind Flacco and develop and grow, mature, work on a couple things before he has to be the guy. Because I think if you rush him in right now, you're just going to have a repeat of what you've been seeing in Denver.
Yeah, the Broncos are definitely going through a restructuring, of course, and getting Drew Locke in the 42nd pick. We'll see if that pans out. Let's go back into the draft order here. We had more. Montez Sweat eventually did go on the first round to the Redskins. What do you think about that?
Man, that was a great pick by the Redskins. And, man, you couldn't ask for a better situation there. I mean, a lot of people got scared off because of this whole heart issue. And the thing is, I think that they it was wrong of them to just jump off ship like that, because if they actually pay attention to reports, you know, he's had it for quite some time. He had it while he was at Mississippi State. Never an issue reported, never any complications. You know, he was still able to do the things we saw, which allowed him to be boosted high into a draft order. So they got a steal that late in the draft, and he's going to provide that extra piece, maybe the final piece in that defense, is just going to make it a nightmare for opposing offenses. I mean, you already got Deron Payne. You already got, just a whole bunch of people that are killers at their position right now. Jonathan Allen, that defense is already scary enough, but they were missing that big difference maker at the edge. And this is a guy for it. And he's only going to get better. He's only going to get stronger. And people are going to regret letting him drop that far.
Let's go to the Ravens, which you believe is the second best team that had a good draft. They got a pair of wide receivers, Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin. Will this help out Lamar Jackson a little bit in Baltimore?
Well, it's not going to help out his mechanics and his passing ability, which is a very big deal. But it does help him from the aspect of there are no weapons at wide receiver there right now at all. And, you know, and it's been absent. The Baltimore Ravens have been missing of a playmaker at the wide receiver position. And, you know, they draft Hollywood Brown first, you know. This is a big play threat. You know, he's got the ability to take it to the next level, but also he can draw deep safety help every time he's running free. And this, and if he's not catching the ball, what's going to do is going to create other opportunities for other receivers. And that's also going to, you know, give simple coverage looks for Lamar Jackson. And we all need to make it simple right now, where Lamar Jackson basically is learning on the job. You know, just he has uncanny speed and quickness, and, you know, he's going to be guaranteed to scare defenses for years to come. The only question I have is durability, just mainly because of his size. And you did mention another wide receiver. They got the big wide receiver out of Notre Dame, Boykins. He's a big guy. That's something they need. They haven't really had that big-bodied receiver. This is a guy who uses that to his advantage. You know, he can outposition himself against defensive backs, especially smaller defensive backs. You know, he can climb high and play above the rim and snatch the ball out of the air. So and he's a very instinctive passer across the middle, and he's not afraid to go across the middle either. So I think they got a home run there. And one player I really liked was Justice Hill, the running back out of Oklahoma State. He had a really, really good combine, and that allowed his stock to go up tremendously. But I liken him to Alvin Kamara, and I know that might be a lofty assessment, but he has the ability to be that for Mark Ingram. And Mark Ingram really was allowed to be successful in New Orleans because he had that good change of pace back in Kamara to work with. So I think you may have the shaping of something similar to that with Baltimore, you know. But Hill's an aggressive runner. He can slash through gaps. He's very elusive. And, you know, he can put tacklers who try to square up on him, you know, and a bind because his quickness is just so incredible. He has great acceleration. He also can be very solid in pass protection, which that is a great asset for any running back to have.
And so, go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just very happy with that pick there.
Another asset they did grab, and you did mention it, Trace McSorley from Penn State, another quarterback. That was a good pick, I thought, too, as well.
I think so. I mean, the guy was a great college quarterback. He's a great leader, and he was a winner. And, you know, his NFL grades by the analysts might not have been overly appealing, but, you know, you need a guy that's a winner on your team, especially the backup position. This is a guy who knows how to get it done. He's confident. He's able to carry the team on his shoulders. It's a good, solid pick. Do I ever expect him to be a starter? Not necessarily, but it does give a little extra cushion with that, with those quarterbacks there, because we don't know how much longer RG3 is going to play, because, you know, we don't know if those injuries that he has suffered throughout his career are going to eventually take their toll and he's going to hang it up. So somebody's going to have to be an heir apparent there. And depending on how this Lamar Jackson experiment plays out, I mean, we may see him sooner rather than later. But for now, I think he's a solid backup selection.
Yeah, I think it'd be solid. I think, you know, they had to fill that hole. Obviously, RG3 is not too reliable, but if you have McSorley, he might be a good backup. Another curiosity.
Well, he's different. He's different in the aspect of you got Lamar Jackson and RG3 who are similar styles. He's more of a drop-back passer but can be elusive and use his feet when he has to. But he's not completely reliant on his running ability.
Another curiosity which that kind of eyed the whole sports world and maybe people outside the sports world was the Patriots picking up Stidham. Jared Stidham from Auburn, and of course, you know, Brady is 42 in September, and, you know, there might be a time where he'll probably retire soon, and people are calling him. Maybe he might be the replacement or the heir to Tom Brady. What are your thoughts?
Well, if anybody read my last article, NFL Draft Dark Horses, Who's Worth Riding, you would notice that I somewhat made that pick right there. I suggested that he would be a good fit there to learn under Tom Brady. And lo and behold, it picked number 133. They picked him up. You know, I'm not anointing him to be the next Tom Brady. I'm not anointing him to be the successor. It's a wait-and-see type thing, you know. But, you know, Jarrett's a good touch passer. He can throw a catchable ball, has good field vision. He can throw on the run. And has the ability to extend plays with his feet, you know, something Tom Brady can't do.
I really thought he was a good quarterback when he played for Auburn.
Do what now?
I really think he's a good quarterback, Jared Stidham.
He's a very good quarterback. He had the better year in 2017 when he threw for 3,158 yards and 18 touchdowns. Statistically, that was his best year. Oh, yeah, and by the way, he happened to beat both Georgia and Alabama, the eventual contenders for the national title. So that's a big deal. And he beat both of them. That's huge. His production dropped off a little bit this past season. But before you start to, you know, throw stones at him a little bit, you know, Auburn did lose a lot to graduation from the previous season. You know, and let's just call it what it is. Gus Malzahn really didn't know what he was doing with Stidham. He didn't get the most out of him. And I just think he just kind of flopped when it came to getting the most out of a very good quarterback. So he's a great leader. He's a winner. Matter of fact, he willed Auburn to win several games they shouldn't have this past season. And like I said, you know, he beat Alabama and Georgia. You don't do that on accident. He's a great player. And, you know, like I said, he has an opportunity to really learn and really develop from one of the best to ever play the game at his position. So it should give Patriot fans a little bit of relief when it comes to, you know, life after Brady.
Yeah, it should be crazy.
This is an Alabama fan. This is an Alabama fan giving praise to an Auburn quarterback. So
yeah, it's saying a lot.
That says something.
And of course, you know, Brady's planning to play till 45, so we'll see what happens. Anything else before we move on from the NFL draft? Any other significant picks that you thought weren't high enough, or some picks that, wow, they just, you know, this guy never came in the first round but went into the fourth?
Well, I'm going to put on my Alabama sunglasses for a minute here. I was really surprised that Deontay Thompson dropped as low as he did. I thought that he would
maybe a first round pick, but necessarily wouldn't go beyond the second or third round. But instead, he dropped to the fifth. My assessment of him coming into this draft was he didn't need to go into the draft. He really needed to go back and have another season under his belt. You know, he needed to bulk up a little bit, and he just needed to improve, because last season, in the second half of the season where Alabama's playing their toughest opponents, he dropped off a lot. He got lost in coverages a lot, just really wasn't the same player that we saw in the first half of the season. And had the NFL draft happened in the first half of the season, he would have been a first-round draft pick. The other was Mac Wilson. Felt like he needed to come back and he needed to develop, especially after having a disappointing year, after garnering all that hype coming in from the previous season. And to be honest with you, he probably should have gone then instead of coming back, but he didn't. So here we are, and he dropped pretty low. He's in a great spot with the Browns, and I think that he probably will end up starting on that defense. He fits in pretty well. But honestly, I felt like he needed to come back, but I never foresaw him dropping that far. Then Isaiah Buggs dropped all the way to the sixth round. I mean, I never saw that coming either. It just kind of blows my mind, because this guy is a dominant pass rusher who made life a living hell for running backs and quarterbacks. And here's an interesting stat. He actually had more sacks last year than Quinnen Williams.
Wow.
You know, I'm not saying that Buggs should have been a first round guy at all. No, not at all. But you can't sit there and tell me that, you know, 191 players were better than he was. It doesn't make any sense. The good thing is, you know, his former defensive line coach is now in Pittsburgh, so he knows how good he is, and so he's going to get a lot of value out of him. And he's going to go well in that defense that's shaping up to be probably one of the better defenses in the NFL next season. And people are going to be sorry that they passed on him. And a lot of people are probably saying that, well, you're an Alabama guy, you're going to boost up your guys. No, I'm just calling it what it is, because I've seen the guy play for his 2 years at Alabama after coming over from junior college.
My biggest surprise was DK Metcalf falling to the second round, 64th pick to the Seahawks.
I wasn't surprised about that at all, man. DK Metcalf was only drawing hype because his 40 time was just immaculate. And he bench pressed for a ton of reps. He jumped out of the building. But the thing is, man, it's the intangibles. His ability to run routes, his ability, you know, that he displayed in the cone drills was just not good. You know, great, you can run forward, but what about the in-between stuff? I mean, Tom Brady had a better cone drill time than he did. That's not good. But I mean, he just obviously is raw. And then again, too, he had some serious injury concerns. He's been plagued with the injury bug while at Ole Miss. And the thing is, we saw that a little bit from former great receiver at Ole Miss, Laquon Treadwell, who was virtually non-existent in the NFL right now. Is he even on a roster? We don't know, but that could happen with Metcalf. So that's why I feel that he dropped.
Of course, that is the that is our recap of the NFL 2019 draft. Really, really exciting. Next year, everyone's looking for 2020. It's going to be more sexier, of course. There's about five quarterbacks at least that's entering the draft. And, of course, everyone's eyeing it. But, hey, they got to play the season and see how it goes. Things might change in a year because a year ago, Kyler Murray was not expected to go this high or win a Heisman. So a lot could happen in 1 year.
Absolutely. I will say this, and I'm not one of these guys who gets overexcited, nor do I buy into these way too early whatevers, you know, but I thought it was pretty cool to see that some people actually picking Jalen Hurts to be drafted in the first round and more likely going to the Patriots. I thought that was pretty cool. And any kind of positivity that's brought to Jalen Hurts, I'm all about. So I thought it was a cool little thing that I saw here yesterday.
Definitely something to look forward to. One of the things to look forward to this college season is Jalen Hurts, probably the most sexiest grad transfer in college football this past offseason. Let's go into game predictions. Who do you have between the Raptors and the 76ers? The series is tied at one.
I think that the Raptors are going to claim this one, man. I just think they're too strong, and they're playing at a high level right now. I think the 76ers aren't quite there yet, although they got some good talent, man, but I'm going to go with the Raptors. I really like them, and I hope they don't disappoint. I really hope they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Joel Embiid actually has stomach issues, and he may not be able to play tonight.
that's not what they need to have happen, because this is a hot Raptors team, and if you don't have your star player, life is going to be very unpleasant for you.
Yeah, he's the main player of the 76ers, of course. Last night, I actually want to go over this. The Denver Nuggets, I mean, I thought they were going to lose last round against the Spurs. They made it out all the way to Game 7. But
I think I called that.
You're going for the Nuggets?
Winning, and I wasn't going for them, but I called them winning the series.
Yeah. Now, with the Trailblazers, we'll see. I mean, I'm not convinced with the Nuggets.
I'm not either. I thought they got out of the first round, but I just don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last season, but like they're saying, you know, Nikola Jokic is not a go-to guy scorer. He had 17 points last night. So I'm thinking the Blazers might pull this one out, but maybe Nuggets will pull it out as well. It's kind of 50-50.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to go with Lillard, and I think that having him on there is going to be the reason why they advance to the next round. He's a tremendous player, tremendous person, too.
Very, and this team is all put together well with McCollum, so we'll see, and also with Enes Kanter.
Absolutely.
So, random question of the week. Who is your favorite Toy Story character, Woody, Rex, Buzz, or Mr. Potato Head?
Are you saying this to promote Toy Story 4? With a trailer that was recently released?
You know, it is not related. I did not see the trailer, and they're not sponsoring this cast.
They have. Well, I know that because we would be a lot better off if they did. But
we'll be in person.
Anyway, yeah, they had a little teaser that came out last night. So it gets us excited again. The cast is coming back. Let's see. Man, that's a tough one. You know, I got to go with Buzz Lightyear. I'm a Tim Allen guy from back in the day, man. Home Improvement was one of the best shows ever created. So I got the Tool Man voicing Buzz Lightyear. Got to stick with him.
You know that Buzz is the most least liked character in Toy Story, I believe? There was like a
fan poll.
I don't know. I guess because he took the attention from Woody.
This is interesting, and it's also interesting that that people have actually developed a vendetta against him.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the fourth installment of Toy Story is coming out soon, and of course, how are things in the Twitterverse? What are people chatting about?
Well, right now in the Twitterverse on the Sportscast One, we basically got some. Post NFL draft chatter going on, just kind of as wrap ups, and Otherwise, it's really slow. You know, you got the NBA going on, so that's really the main talk we're getting right now. Just not a whole lot of content. You know, we've reached that point of the sports time, where there's just not a whole lot of news going on, and so look for news that really isn't news to be made news and overhyped, so that people can pay attention to stuff. But right now, it's just really slow, and I really don't look for things to really pick up. Well, of course, to the NBA Finals, and then after that, college football season.
And there you have it. Follow us at the SportsCast1. And, Justin, what is your personal Twitter?
My personal Twitter is at 12-1-training. That's number 12, one spelled out, training.
And it's which is May, so get your body together for June, for summer. Get your beach body ready for summer.
Yes. Before it's too late. Hey, well, we got 1 month left before summer really kicks off. And for a lot of people, summer kicks off that last weekend of May. So you got some time. You need to give me a call. Give me a direct message, something, man. And we need to put something together to make it happen. But you can also find me a lot, mainly on our SportsCast Twitter, because I'm really am working hard to build that up. We're getting close to 300 followers. You know, we're just starting out, but we're climbing. Help us push over that 300 mark and go even higher. Also get on us on Instagram at the SportsCast1, doing some good things there. Got a lot of attention, a lot of love from a lot of fan bases throughout the sportsverse.
And there you have it, at the SportsCast1. Follow us on the sportscast.net for the latest sports news. You see Justin's article, and of course you see Tyler's recap of the NFL draft and where thoughts. We're definitely, the football is kind of, you know, the rookie mini camps begin this week, I believe. So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely be eyeing college football. And, of course, Nick Saban did say that that Alabama was complacent, but we're not going to get into it because we got to end the show. We'll talk about it next time. Anyways.
I love how you end it with that quote and expect me not to make any statement.
But he talked about it. Yeah, he talked about it this week. And, of course, you know, just no regrets. You got to look forward and hopefully prepare Tua and everyone else for the college football season. Anyways, thanks for coming on to the SportsCast, Justin. I'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.